Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
19 years ago today, September 11th, 2001, a day our nation will never forget, a day we should all reflect on, remember and learn from about coming together. We remember all of those lost on that day and after, and let's take that. Let's come together. Differences are there, but if there's anything I take forward from that moment and remember it like it was yesterday, it is that we all put aside differences to solve common issues, and we need to do that again today. Welcome back to the Silver Black Today, powered by Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys. Give them a call, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's right. And we're back here. It is a football weekend. We had football last night, the Chiefs and the Texans. We'll talk a little bit about that, but we're going to stay focused on the task at hand, and that is the Carolina Panthers for your Las Vegas Raiders here on the home of Raiders football on the radio, Raider Nation Radio 920. I'm your host, Scott Culbranson, joined by my co-host, Q Myers. Q, here we go, baby.
Yeah, here we go. And like you said, and I just want to take a quick second, man, 9/11 is a day that everyone needs to reflect on. Everyone needs to think where they were. And I'm sure that anyone who was alive knows exactly where they were when they found out the news and started getting the details rolling in. And just want to shout out to all the troops out there. Want to shout out to all the first responders. Want to shout out to the people that paved the way to allow people like you and me to do what we do on the daily, which is jump on the radio and talk about something that we love to talk about, which is football, the Raiders. Have a good time, share some laughs. None of this would be possible if it wasn't for all those people. So salute to all of you out there. Salute to all of you that you know, their families out there that have paid the, or yeah, given the ultimate sacrifice to you know, have family members represent and take care of this country. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
That's right, Q. Well said. All right. On today's show, just want to run down quickly who we're going to be talking to, what we're going to be doing. We got a full agenda, Raider Nation. It is a football weekend. Your team is finally, after all that we've been through as a country and all as a Raider Nation, finally get to get on the field. So today, leading off the show here in just a few minutes, Jonathan Alexander, he's the beat writer for the Carolina Panthers at the Charlotte Observer. He'll be with us. We did a Panthers preview with Joe Person a couple weeks ago. But now, any surprises coming out of camp? Who shined? Who disappointed? We'll get the inside skinny from Jonathan Alexander. Also, as we do every Friday, Mo Moten, our senior NFL columnist at silverandblacktoday.com, also a major contributor over at Bleacher Report. Mo will be with us. Him and I and Q will go through season predictions. We're going to spend a couple segments here doing that and talking, going through a little bit by game and see what we see, as well as give you our predictions on the 2020 season for your Las Vegas Raiders. Then, of course, we get the Q-tip. Q will have his soapbox. He'll get up. He usually nails it. I should say he always nails it. Come on. He's always on top of things. He's going to give us the Q-tip. Then, in the 3 o'clock hour as well, Gary Rowland. Chef Gray. Gray, excuse me. I said Gary, didn't I? I was thinking.
Yeah, man.
I was thinking of his brother.
Definitely Gray.
Gray, like my hair. Gray Rowland. Thank you. Thank you, Q. Chef Gray Rowland, of course. He is the chef to the rock, to rock and roll. Wait till you hear about this guy's background. Also, he knew Q when Q was a lowercase Q.
Yep.
So we're going to talk to him a little bit about that, too. But he's going to give you tailgate food that you can make at home. Raider fans were so worried about tailgating at Allegiant Stadium, which, of course, we couldn't get around to because of all this stuff. So now you got to do it at home. Chef Gray is going to give us some pointers on what we can do to make our home tailgate just as good as it were if we were at the stadium. Then attorney Michael Troiano will be with us. We do our biweekly check of the NFL police blotter. Now, it has been very quiet, which is a very good thing, but we'll also talk to Michael about his football traditions. What does he do? What does he cook up? All that stuff, Q. So we have a lot in store for this Friday, man.
Yeah, we do. And it's exciting, man, because I didn't know if we were going to get here. I don't think anyone really knew if we were going to get here or not. But knowing that we're just, a matter of hours, really, a day is going to go by really, really quickly. And we'll be talking about an actual football game. We'll be watching football. We'll see the Raiders and the Carolina Panthers clash. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, absolutely. And we want to first touch on those Carolina Panthers and get a good sense for what they are. We've been talking about them all week, about them being in rebuilding mode, but we wanted to go to a source that's much more knowledgeable than we are. And now we're going to go out on the phone lines and bring in from Charlotte, Jonathan Alexander. You can follow him at John M. Alexander on Twitter. He covers the Panthers for the Charlotte Observer. And Jonathan, welcome to Raider Nation Radio and the Silver and Black today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, so we know Panthers new coach Matt Rhule and the organization are sort of in rebuild mode. They're coming out of the strangest of strange training camps. What's the overall mood and the view of how this team came together and how they looked coming out of this unusual camp?
Overall, they're pretty excited. I think they know that they were at a disadvantage given how many new players they had. They drafted 7 rookies. They're going to rely on 4 of them immediately. The COVID-19 pandemic prevented that off season that a lot of people that they would have liked to have. But it seems just based on their comments that they gelled well together. I think the offense a little more quickly than the defense, but it seems that they've gelled well together and they're excited to finally, play against somebody other than themselves.
Jonathan, I got to ask you about the run defense of the Panthers. It was something that was really bad in 2019. I know Matt Rhule personally, he's going to want to clean up the trenches, on both sides of the ball, offensive line and defensive line. But how much more, especially with that young defensive line, a lot of guys that they brought in by way of the draft or free agency, how quickly do you think that they could gel and shore up that defensive line?
Yeah, I think pretty quickly, specifically up the middle. That's one thing they really struggled at, stopping that run up the middle. They didn't have Kwon Short for the last 14 games. He got hurt with a shoulder injury. He comes back. They think they directly addressed it with the draft and drafting Derrick Brown who was really good at Auburn. And then they picked up a free agent, Zach Kerr. I don't know, whether they expect him to be a big-time contributor, but he's impressed them in camp. He's done a lot better, and he's going to be that third-string guy, that rotation guy who comes in. On the outside, they have Brian Burns, who they're really high on. He'll change from, a stand-up rusher to hand-in-the-dirt type of guy. That's going to be an adjustment for him. He put on some weight, and then you have Rietor Gross-Matos on the other side who kind of emerged as a starter. He's a rookie as well, and it may take a little bit of time for him, but they like his potential. It's definitely going to be some growing pains, but they're a lot more confident in the inside than they were last year.
Again, we're talking to Jonathan Alexander. He is the Panthers beat writer at the Charlotte Observer. And Jonathan, when we look at the Panthers, of course, the discussion begins and usually begins with one Mr. Christian McCaffrey. And we know he's the one weapon that Matt Rhule can count on immediately. But is there any indication that his workload will change and go down? If not, is there any concern over health? I mean, he's such a tough guy, and I know he is a health freak. He takes care of himself. He does really well with his diet, his nutrition, all that stuff. But can he maintain that level of touches and everything that he's been doing over the last couple of years?
And I think history shows that, it would be tough to maintain the number of touches. I think he played about 97% of the snaps last year, which is extremely high. He had more than 400-some touches. I think the Panthers don't want to utilize him less. They don't want to take away his opportunities. He's valuable. But they hope that the players behind him, that was the issue last year. The issue last year was that their backup players did not perform as well as they would have liked. Therefore, they didn't have as much confidence in them to come in and spell Christian McCaffrey. And I think this year they have a little more confidence in their backups. They like what they have in Mike Davis. But while they do have confidence in Mike Davis and they may play him, I think you'll see Christian. McCaffrey being utilized just as much. I think his touches will be up there. But I do think that they are somewhat concerned about the amount of punishment that he'll take going forward. How they'll address that, I'm not really sure.
A lot of Raider Nation is concerned because the Raiders are going to put out there two young wide receivers, two rookie wide receivers, in Henry Ruggs and Bryan Edwards. But what about the Carolina Panthers? They have a young secondary, you know, very young secondary. How concerning is that for them moving forward?
Yeah, I think it's the biggest concern on this team. Their secondary is the most inexperienced group of the team. You know, they moved Dante Jackson to the top cornerback spot. He was number two last year. You know, they like what they have in him, but outside of him, it's really up in the air. You know, they signed Eli Apple, you know, to fill that number two cornerback spot. They liked his experience, but he's been hurt for most of camp and practice. And you know, Troy Pride Jr., another rookie, is having to step in for that. And I think they really like Troy Pride Jr., his potential, but right now, Ian, it's really uncertain of if he's ready now. That's the biggest question. He showed some flashes of nice play in camp, but he also showed some tendency to get beat. And then behind Troy Pride, it's really up in the air. You know, you got Corn Elder, who's a third-year player, hasn't had much experience. Stanley Thomas Oliver, seventh-round pick. You know, he didn't have some good moments in camp. They just signed a veteran from the Eagles, but you know he's new to the defense. So you know, I think that's the biggest concern. I think it'll take a lot of time for those guys to gel and to get acclimated.
Jonathan Alexander from the Charlotte Observer is our guest. And Jonathan, before we move on from the defensive backs, a kid I really like coming out of Southern Illinois was Jeremy Chinn, who they grabbed in the last draft. I know he's listed second on the depth chart. How is he looking like a guy they feel might be capable of moving into that starting role eventually?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, they love Jeremy Chinn. And I think the benefit of Jeremy Chinn is the fact that he can play. The strength of Jeremy Chinn is the fact that he can play multiple positions. They have him playing linebacker. You know, he's primarily a safety. He'll be playing some nickel corner. You know, I think he's been one of the more impressive players in camp, let alone rookies. You know, Brian Snow said it, you know, last week that, you know, he thinks fans are going to like what they see in Jeremy Chinn. And he's shown that he's got crazy size, 6'3", 221 pounds. He can do it all. So yeah, he's definitely someone who I think has a bright future ahead of him in Carolina.
Everyone's expecting this offense to be high-flying. Joe Brady comes over from LSU. Obviously, Teddy Bridgewater takes over for Cam Newton. What are your expectations for this offense? How quickly do you think that they could gel?
Yeah, I think the offense can be really good. You know, Teddy, they have like a lot of familiar pieces, particularly a wide receiver, running back. New offensive line, but veteran offensive line. Quarterback Teddy Bridgewater, you know, he played well with the Saints. He's a confident player, accurate thrower. He can get his receivers the ball. You know, they can have a really good year because they have a lot of weapons. DJ Moore had a 1,000-yard season last year, 87 catches. You add Robbie Anderson, who has lights-out speed. I think he was listed as the fourth fastest receiver in the league. That's only a benefit. And, you know, he can get behind cornerbacks in a hurry. So, you know, Teddy Bridgewater can find his receivers, which they think he can, and evidence shown he can. You know, they think that they can have a really good year. It may be a lot of shootouts this year, but, you know, they think the offense can be really good. And I didn't even mention Christian McCaffrey. How could I not? You know, he can do it all.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jonathan, before we let you go, I mean, you look at Matt Rhule. He's there now. He's about to coach his first NFL game. A really creative guy, a master motivator. He's got a 7-year contract. So clearly the organization is behind him. They want him to build this the right way. But expectations amongst fans in the NFL are always high. What is it going to, if he goes out there on Sunday, first game, it's there at home, and the Raiders were to beat them, you know, is this a situation where the fans understand what's going on too down in Charlotte, and they're going to be patient with Matt Rhule as he learns and as they grow?
You know, I think I think it depends. You know, I think they have been patient in the past. Like, for instance, in 2011, when they got Cam Newton, that team finished, I think, 6-11. But, you know, you could see, you know, a future in that offense. The offense looked really good despite their struggles, and there was hope there. And I think if Matt Rhule can provide hope in this first season and they don't look terrible like their 2010 season did, you know, I do think fans will be patient. But if there's no sign, if they don't look remotely any good, you know, I think that patience could wear thin. But you know, I think that they have the potential to look good, so I think fans will, you know, exhibit patience this year.
All right, Jonathan Alexander, he covers the Panthers for the Charlotte Observer. Jonathan, thank you for being with us here on the Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio, and we'll catch up with you on down the line.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
All right, there you go. Jonathan Alexander from the heart of Panther country there in Charlotte. And Q, you know, we've kind of analyzed this team, and we know what they have. If I was Derek Carr today, I would be salivating. No?
Yeah, I think the whole team is. Yeah. I mean, I think the Raiders in general should be salivating. I mean, they have an opportunity to go out there and put their best foot forward and get another season started, and they get it started off on a positive note. I mean, you have a coaching staff that's vulnerable. I mean, honestly, they haven't done anything yet. And so, you know, they are going to be good. At some point, Matt Rhule is going to get that team in the right spot and where they need to be. I will stand by that, no doubt about it. I tell people that all the time. Don't get caught slipping. Matt Rhule's going to do the right thing. But he takes his time. They gave him a long contract for a reason. The fans there in Charlotte better recognize and realize that they're not going to be that thrilled this first year. But they'll be thrilled when he's done. He's going to get them right. But the Raiders, I mean, look, John Gruden's been there 3 years. He needs to go out there and put his best foot forward and really help this team get off to a great start. I think they have a great opportunity to get this season going. They just got to go do it on Sunday.
They absolutely do. What do you guys think? How do you see this Carolina game coming out? How do you, most of you I know will say the Raiders will win this game, and they should win this game, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. 702-365-9200 is the number. By the way, the Sam and Ash text line, 69186. That's right, 69186. Text us there as well here on the Silver and Black today. And I'll tell you what, Q, it's one of those games where, you know, you expect your team to win, right? And you'd love to see them have a blowout win. But at the same time, I think this game, it's on the road. You have a young team yourself, so it's going to be a slog. I mean, it doesn't mean you shouldn't win handily. It just means, I think, you know, people watched the Chiefs last night, of course, put up points in very quickly, as they always do, and they're expecting that out of the Raiders, but we'll see what they get. All right, we're going back out on the phone lines. The Raider Nation Radio Hotline. Jay from St. Louis joins us. He's got something to say today. Jay, what do you got for us?
What's up, guys? So we talk about Mayock and, like, building a foundation, right? Like, foundational players. So that's like Lee Farrell and all them, right?
Yep.
So what's the rest of the house? You know, you got Henry Ruggs, that's your sports car. You got, like, Derek Carr, what's he, like, front door? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, it's just, like, it's a little game to play. And, yo, Scott, I'm ashamed of you, dude.
Why is that?
You say you don't like no rappers now? Dude, there's one from Las Vegas that's a lyricist named Echo.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. So I didn't say I didn't like them. I said the newer stuff doesn't appeal to me as much as the older stuff. I'm an older guy. I mean, what do you want from me? I mean, I'm not 20.
Dude, Las Vegas represent. Echo, come on.
Yeah, well, sure. There's lots of Las Vegas bands and Las Vegas artists and who do lots of cool stuff. But, yeah, no, I mean, hey, I'm always open-minded. I listen to everything, man. It doesn't matter what kind of genre it is. I listen to it. So fair. If I find something I like, I'll listen to it. So I'll give him a shot and hear what he has to say.
But yeah, dude, I want to know you guys' thoughts. What's the rest of the house? We're building the foundation. I want to know the rest of the people.
The rest of the house. Okay, so I think you have the offensive line as a security system.
Well, yeah, that and they're, you know, they're part of the foundation as well.
They're part of the foundation.
You know, but he's right with Cleve Ferrell. Actually, the whole 2019 draft, in my opinion, was all the foundation of the team. And now they're starting to bring in the accessories. You know, you bring in a guy like Damon Arnett's got a little something-something in his neck. You know, I mean, he's an accessory.
He's a pool? You know, he's a swimming pool, or what is he?
I mean, he's just something. You know, he's an extra piece that is really going to help in a major way that they expect a lot from. Yeah. You know, you go and get some free agent parts and Corey Littleton and Nick Witkowski. I mean, those guys are almost like, you know, if you're inside the house and you're building it and they say, do you want the walls that are cornered or the bullnose? Is that what they call
it? Bullnose. Yeah.
Yeah. There would be like the bullnose. I mean, that's an accessory, you know. Maybe Derek Carr is like the surround sound in there. You know, I don't know, but you can see them building the house and you can see them building the team up. And just with all the parts that they've gotten the last two seasons, are they there yet? No, but they have really good parts and good pieces, and you can sell that. You can see that it's going to be a high quality house.
Well, and see the foundational stuff that you did good, man. You did a lot better. I was trying to figure stuff out, and I couldn't work as fast as you did. So good job. But for me, it's more of a car analogy, right? It's like, hey, I'm going to go in. I'm going to buy a car. I'm getting the basic package, right? And it's a good car. It drives. It gets you where you need to go. But then I come into a little bit of money, and I want to get better. I want to get faster. So I put on some new exhaust. Gives me some extra horsepower. I put in an electronics package, helps me get some better music, know where I'm going. So you keep adding on, and soon enough, that car is cherried out. It's like it's how you want it, and it's going to turn more heads. It's going to get you where you need to go. Matt in Hoboken, one more call before we take a break. Matt, for your daily call here, man, how you doing? What he got? How do you see this game going down in Carolina on Sunday?
I see us winning the game.
Yeah,
and I think Vegas sees us winning the game, too, as evidenced by the last line I saw. I think it's 3.5 going across the country, which is a powerful line for a visiting team.
Yes.
But I wanted to talk real quick about the pitfalls of this game that we have to avoid. Pitfall number one, McCaffrey going crazy. We got to stop that because that could be a problem. Pitfall number two, Ruggs and the new receivers not being totally in sync with Carr. And pitfall number three, the young secondary taking some time to get going. So those three things are what I'm going to be looking out for. I expect to win the game, but if it starts getting tight or if we end up not winning the game, I'm willing to bet that it'll be because of one of those three reasons or more than one of those three reasons.
Matt, as always, man, thank you for your call. Awesome. Q, exactly what you said. You can't let McCaffrey beat you.
No, you can't let McCaffrey beat you, and he's absolutely right about the young secondary. I think that the Panthers are going to try to test the young guys a few times. One, I don't believe that Teddy Bridgewater's arm is that great where he could just, you know, stretch the ball down the field. But, you know, they're going to try to set their playmakers up in good positions. So, yeah, those are a couple of areas of concern. I will say with Henry Ruggs and Bryan Edwards, I don't expect to see the Raiders to really stretch the field either. I think Henry Ruggs is going to catch a lot of those wide receiver screens and quick slants and try to do something after the catch, get a little bit wiggle after the catch. That's my expectations.
I agree with you there, and that's what I've said about Ruggs all along is, yes, he can take the top off if he needs to, but at the same time, he's going to do a lot of those plays. They're going to have a lot of motion and direction across the middle, I think, because you think about Ruggs, you think about Waller, and you think about Renfro, our new teammate here at Silver and Black Today. You think about those guys and what they do and getting yards after the catch, right? That's what you're going to see a lot of, and if you can do that and you take 14, 16 yards at a time, let me tell you, you start moving down the field really fast, and I like them. All right, we're going to take a break. If you want to get on and speak to us, tell us what you think about Sunday's game against the Carolina Panthers, call us 702-365-9200. We'll get you on right after the break. You're listening to Q. You're listening to Scott. You're listening to Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
X. Shout out to Exhibit X to the Z. Somewhere he's pimping my red. Not my red. Somebody's red.
All right. We're back here, Silver and Black, today on this game week Friday, week one of the NFL. Raiders travel to Charlotte, North Carolina, to take on the Panthers. By the way, head coach John Gruden currently with a 5-8 record in regular season opener, splitting the last two seasons against the Rams. Of course, his first season back, that stinker on Monday night, 33-13 to the Rams. And last year, topping the Broncos 24-16. On the road in regular season openers, Gruden has a 3-5 record. His last road victory in week one coming in 2005 against the Minnesota Vikings at 24-13 as the coach of the Buccaneers, of course,
well,
at that point.
I mean, you could say that, and you could say 2005, and it sounds like a long time ago, but he didn't coach for 10 years in between there.
Exactly, exactly.
So,
not that far.
I say it all the time, too. You could take a lot of numbers, and you can, you know, you could dance them up, and you can dress them up and make them look a certain way to fit a narrative, but, I mean, ultimately, he wasn't coaching for 10 years, so.
No. No, exactly.
Really couldn't do it.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting. The Raiders are leaving today from Henderson, heading out to the airport and flying out to Charlotte. When they have East Coast games, they leave on Fridays. When they're closer to home, they leave on Saturday mornings. So they're going to get acclimated. I think there was something to what Gruden said, Q, about, you know, all season, preseason, we've been practicing at 7:30 in the morning, which means that most guys were in the locker room getting ready by 6:30, which is 9:30 East Coast time. So they're acclimated a little bit to the time. It's always hard for a West Coast team to go east.
Yeah, of course. You know, no West Coast team likes to do that, and the Raiders always end up doing it a lot, and they always end up having a lot of travel miles. But I'll tell you right now, I was very impressed with what the Raiders were able to do in 2019 just by having all the travel miles that they had, including having to go to London, and just the way that they navigated their plan of attack and decided to go from Indianapolis right after the game and head to London. And I just think that they have a really good front office as far as, let's plan this out, this is what's best for your body. I think they realized that had been an Achilles heel of the team for quite a while. And for a very tough schedule and road schedule in 2019, I think they did a heck of a job navigating through it.
Absolutely. It was a weird, weird offseason, and it's just going to – it's time to go. It's time to go. All right, we're going out on the phone line, Raider Nation hotline. Our man, Gangster Raider, calling in early today, man. What's going on with you?
Man, I'm pumped. I'm excited.
Right.
I really think we should smash Carolina.
Yeah.
And also, I was wondering, because I'm coming out there next week for the Monday night game, and you think it's going to be any tailgates or anything? What's the plan? Any goings-on? Because, you know, it's going to be the first actual Raider game in Vegas. So what's the highlights? Anything I should be planning for? And I'm ready for the freestyle whenever y'all want me to.
Okay, we'll get to that. Now, here's the thing, Gangster Raider. We will let you know early in the week what's going on. Again, most of the bars here are closed, so they still have not opened back up for typical bar activity. So it really depends. I know I've been seeing amongst all the different Raider groups in Las Vegas a lot of discussion around get-togethers. I've seen some formal ones which seem to be prime targets to be shut down and hammered on if they have them. But we'll let you know for sure. Okay. So what we're going to do now, though, is we're going to turn the mic over to you and we're going to let you go freestyle. Let's do it.
Y'all ready? It go like this.
Yeah.
I'm tired of these haters hating on the Raiders. We're the all-time greatest thing. You know you can't fade us from the fan to the players, black and silver stainless. And we most hated just like Al Davis. We're the kings of California, throwing touchdowns on you. We're the gangster Arizona, and we do what we want to. Won Super Bowls in Northern and Southern Cali, and we treat the whole state like one big alley. We G's and big time, but North and South Siders, Raider Nation riders. Now we run Nevada.
All
Raider
right.
Nation for life.
Yeah, my man. That's right. Good job, Gangster Raider. I appreciate that, man. That's what I'm talking about, getting people pumped up on this Friday. I don't know how
you. Yeah, man, I like that.
Raider Nation for life, all day, every day. Yay, yay.
That was awesome.
Yay, yay. That's what I'm talking about.
All right, my man. We'll talk.
I feel like I was in the club, man.
What?
I just passed the mic.
Hey, Gangster Raider, we'll talk to you Monday because we're gonna get your post-game reaction. All right, my man?
For sure. Look forward to it.
All right. There you go. Gangster Raider with some freestyle. That was great, man. That was good.
Nah, that was good, man. That was good. That was a good way to bring it and get everyone fired up and excited. And look, I think that's how everybody should be anyway.
Yeah.
Fired up and excited. 2020's been a hell of a year. It seems like we're getting closer to the end of it. I mean, we're in September right now, and man, football's coming up on Sunday. We saw some last night, but the full meal deal will be here on Sunday. And you know, the Raiders should have a, you know, they on paper, they should have a really good season. Now, you don't win games on paper, but at the same time, you know, the expectations, in my opinion, should be high.
I win games on paper at the sports book. What are you talking about?
Well, I don't got money like that.
Either do I. It's
you got to have money to be able to bet money.
It's called,
I ain't got no money like that, brother.
It's called three-game $20 parlays, man. That's all.
Give me $20, and I'll tell you what I got.
All right.
Well, $20.
We'll have to do that. You can call me. I can be your bookie.
No, just give me $20, and I'll come up $20. I mean, straight up.
Yeah.
Give me $20, and I'll tell you what I got.
And you'll go bet.
$20.
There you go. That's it.
That's all I need.
You'd be $20 richer. Now, we are going to go through Q, right? We're talking about looking good on paper. We're going to go through the schedule and his normal weekly segment. We're extending it a little bit. Mo Moten, who's our senior NFL columnist at silverandblacktoday.com. He's also a big contributor, does a lot of work up on Bleacher Report as well. He's going to come on here in a second, and we're going to challenge him. I think we're going to have to get, now that Gangster Raider did some freestyle, I think we're going to have to do some Maurice Moten freestyle. Mo, are you ready to go?
He ain't ready for that.
Come on, man. How you got me coming on at the Gangster Raider? I wasn't prepared to freestyle today. Give me 2 months. You know, I can drop 16 bars. But, you know, I can't go on after this dude. You're setting me up for failure here.
A few months.
He was. He absolutely did.
A few months?
A few months. Come on, man.
Right. I mean, he drinks avocado smoothies. He ain't coming with no bars.
Come on. I think I can get you in a freestyle battle. I think we can battle, and I think I will win that.
Oh,
I think you would too. No, I think you would too. I'm not a rapper.
At least you admit it. At least you admit it.
No,
I can maybe do a 316. I'm just saying.
Look,
the best rapper is got the best hype man. I am the hype man.
You could be my Flavor Flav then. We can work
there
that out.
There you see? And nobody talks about Chuck D anymore, but everybody brings up Flavor Flav.
Hey, man.
That's right.
Everybody just knows saying. Their role. Everybody knows their lane.
Q's just looking around his house right now for a clock.
Oh, I have them all around
me. You got
me.
Them? Okay, good. All
I'm
right.
good.
I can't wait for that. All right. Well, Mo Moten is back with us. And Mo, you dropped a couple prediction columns both on our site and also on Bleacher Report, where you also write too. But what we wanted to do is we want to go through this schedule, and we're going to see the three of us and how we do with this, because I think I put out a poll, right, on the Silver and Black Today Twitter handle asking what the record is being. Of course, I limited it because there's a lot of people out there who think the Raiders are going to go 16-0. But if you look at it, the question we asked and the records that we put out there for folks to pick from were 7-9, 8-8, 9-7, 10-6. Okay, and by a majority, 48% of Raider Nation who answered the poll said 10-6. Okay, so that's where the fan base is, but that's not unusual. This being the fourth season that I've covered the Raiders, I've seen that every year, that the fans get very, very excited about the season and maybe a little bit overzealous on how many wins the team will get. Now, they could win 10, but we'll see. All right, so we start with Carolina. Of course, I pick the Raiders to win this game. I don't think it's going to be a big blowout. I think they'll win by 10 points. But what do you guys think as far as this week goes, starting off with game one?
I got the Raiders 24-16 over the Panthers. I think you guys mentioned it. I think mentioned it before I even came on air. It should, on paper, the Raiders should win this game. Rookie head coach, new defense. Gruden's been doing this going into his third year now. Josh Jacobs, I think he's going to run the ball 115 yards on the ground. Bridgewater, he's not going to test the Raiders cornerback. Doesn't have a strong arm. I think you also mentioned that. So I'm not afraid of Robbie Anderson or DJ Moore on the outside. Again, Raiders should control this game in the trenches and win. I wouldn't say fairly easy because Bridgewater doesn't make a lot of mistakes, but they should win this game.
Yeah, I'm with them 100%. I said earlier in the week, 24-17. And honestly, I think Carolina gets a garbage time touchdown to make the game a little bit closer, but I don't think that this is going to be a game that's going to be real close. The Panthers are in a building format, you know, that's where they are, and I don't think that they're going to be that impressive out of the gate. So the Raiders, this is a good game for them to get off to a good start in 2020.
All right, so we got the Raiders on top of the Panthers. All three of us have taken the Raiders in that game. Okay, so then the Raiders come home. They get an extra day off, right, and they get to play Monday night, the 21st. So a week from this Monday, they will be at home in Las Vegas in front of an empty Allegiant Stadium to take on a future Hall of Famer in Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. I'll start with you, Q, on this one.
Well, this was going to be a tough one, man, and Allegiant Stadium would be rocking with Raider fans and Saints fans, for that matter, just because Saints fans travels really well. But like you mentioned, no fans in the stands. So I think this has the potential to be a shootout. I really do. The Raider fan in me wants to say that the Raiders are going to win this game, their first game in Allegiant Stadium, but I just think it might be a little too early for all the weapons that New Orleans has. So I think New Orleans walks away with this victory.
All right. Mo, what about you on the Saints versus Raiders?
We talk about continuity a lot, and I know Carr and Gruden have been joined at the hip going into their third year. But the Raiders have new parts on their offense that play big roles, Henry Ruggs and Brian Edwards. The Saints, their offense should be a well-oiled machine because their offense stays the same and their weapons pretty much stay the same. And they added Emmanuel Sanders, so I think that's just too much for the Raiders' defense, and I think the Saints win this one.
All right, so we got Q and Mo say it's a loss. I say with the emotion and the fact that this game, guys, I really think this is going to be the Raiders' signature win this season. I think they're going to come into Allegiant Stadium, and I agree with Q. It's going to be a shootout, and it will not be easy, and a lot of things have to go their way and go right. And we have to see some things go right, including that young secondary, the young wide receiver core, play well against Carolina this weekend. But I say they come home, and they actually beat the Saints barely. I'm talking barely at Allegiant Stadium. So I'm the only one with them with a win. Then they go back to Foxborough to take on the Patriots, the team that all Raider fans just love and adore. This is a team that has changed a lot. Cam Newton is there. Again, you're going back for the second time in 3 weeks. You have to travel to the East Coast to play an early game against the Patriots. Q, what do you think with this one? Cam Newton looks refreshed. I know he's not the Cam Newton of old. We've talked about it on this show. But are the Patriots going to defend that house and top the Raiders in New England?
No, I don't think so. I think this is a game that the Raiders go out on the road and they pick up a W. I don't believe in Cam Newton right now. And maybe after week one, maybe I'll say, hey, you know, I was wrong, even though they're playing Miami this week. And I actually picked Miami to win this game. I just don't think that Cam Newton's that guy anymore. I saw him as a Super Bowl champ and an MVP of the league. And you saw him a little bit after that. He was good, but he wasn't great. And then he's been banged up with injuries. So he's, first of all, got to prove that he's healthy. So I look at that game, and I just don't buy that the Patriots are just going to pick up where they left off after Tom Brady's gone after so many years, and Cam Newton's going to be the guy. I think that the Raiders, even if Cam Newton is good, still have a great chance of beating New England. So I give them the W in that game.
Mo.
Two things. Derek Carr going to his third year in the system. At this point, Cam Newton be 3 weeks into the Patriots system. So, to me, advantage Derek Carr there. The Patriots also replaced their entire linebacking corps. Well, they didn't replace them, but they don't have the same guys as last year. Jamie Collins is in Detroit. I believe Kyle Van Noy is in Miami. Dante Hightower opted out for COVID concerns. Landon Roberts also, I believe, in Miami. So I think Darren Waller, this is the game where you're going to see the Raiders tight ends really eat up the defense. Darren Waller, Jason Witten, Foster Moreau, those guys are going to have a big game for Derek Carr, and the Raiders win on the road.
All right. I also have them with a win, and by my count, I would have them at 3-0 heading into that game. Both of you 2-1, which is very doable. Then week four, they come home to play the Bills. The Bills are a tough team, guys, and yes, it will be at home, but that Bills team getting a lot of hype, getting a lot of love nationwide, probably just because it's a change in the AFC East for once, but they do have some good weapons. Q, the Bills, do they have enough to come to Las Vegas and beat this Raiders team?
They do. I just don't think that they get it done. Mm-hmm. I think they do have it, and I actually picked them to win the AFC East. I think that they're going to be that team. But I feel like the Raiders are feeling good coming off that Patriots win. Derek Carr is feeling good. The rookies are starting to feel good about themselves. And by this point, I think that Damon Arnett's already picked off one pass this season. And so I just kind of think that they got a little bit of swagger about themselves, and they're ready to protect their house. So I think they pick up that win over Buffalo.
All right. Mo, I'm telling you, I'll get to you in a second. I think this Bills game is going to be a tough one, but I agree. And here I am running up wins and Raiders. I look like you wait till we get to the rest of the schedule. I sound like a fanboy here, but I really think that they win a close one against the Bills. And again, that's another big win for them. But again, it all depends on how that team plays, how that young defense, because I think the Bills, Mo, are going to challenge them incredibly on that young defense.
Let me get this straight, Scott. You got the Raiders going 4-0 out of the game. Just confirm it.
I do.
Okay. All right.
It's crazy. I know.
I'm going to have to disagree with you guys. The matchup here to watch is Stephon Diggs and Trayvon Mullen. I think that matchup is going to dictate who wins this game. If Diggs gets the best of Mullen, Bills win. If Mullen gets the best of this, the Raiders have a good chance. But I'll say this. The Bills, to me, have a top three defense in this league. And looking at Derek Carr, he has struggled against really good defense, especially teams with really good safety tandems, which the Bills do have. And I think the rookie wide receivers will struggle in this game, and the Bills win a low-scoring game. It would be like, I don't know, 17-13, 17-10. Mm. I think the Bills win this one.
All right, so now Mo.
He brings up a lot of good points in that one.
He does.
Really good one.
Very good. And Mo has them at 500, which is about right. Then before we get to the bye with the Raiders in week five, they go to that place that people don't like to talk about, Arrowhead Stadium, Kansas City Chiefs. And I'm just going to say it right now, guys. I'm going to give you two games. The Raiders will not beat the Chiefs this year in either game.
Really?
No, they won't.
Nah, I think you're wrong with that one.
Well, hopefully for the Raiders' sake and for the fans out there who listen to us, I am wrong. I just don't see it, and it's not just because of last night's game, because there was some holes in the system that you could see there, but they looked really good. They have that running game going, and I think they're going to give the Raiders all they can handle. I think it's just going to take a little more time, a little more depth for the Raiders to beat them. So I have this one as a loss.
Okay, well, I'll take it from here. I think that they do win one against the Chiefs this year, and I don't think it's the one at home because that's coming off the bye. So I'm actually having them in a really good position going into the bye at a 4-1 and on a 3-game win streak. So I almost sound like the fanboy that Scott is, except for the fact that I had him losing a game week two. But basically, we got the same record going into the bye.
Mo, okay.
Why you guys got me being the bad guy on this show?
No, you're not. Wait a minute. I almost switched
my pick on the Bills game. You almost convinced me to switch that one.
But Mo, I just told the Raider Nation that they're not going to beat the Chiefs this year. So
well, I don't have them beating the Chiefs this year either.
There you go.
We're even. I just think just to preface this, I don't think the Raiders secondary is ready for the Chiefs offense.
Right,
I'm just saying that play just straight out. I mean, again, between Abram, Arnett, and Mullen, they have 11 starts. And this is still pretty much early in the season. Carr hasn't won in Arrowhead. I think this is going to be the first game with fans in attendance. So, again, I just don't see it being a win here at Kansas City.
All right, yeah, we're going to we'll get through two more games here, and then we'll take a quick break, and then we'll finish up. Week six, they have the bye. Then week seven, they're at home again at Allegiant Stadium against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Q.
Oh, man, it's a tough one.
I know. It is.
Well, I don't know. I would have liked to seen Tom Brady and the Buccaneers a little bit earlier in the season. I think at this point, 7 weeks in, they're pretty comfortable with what they're doing. So I'm not a big fan, and I don't think that Tom Brady's going to have a great season, but I think that they're going to figure some things out by that. So I'm going to go ahead and give them a loss here because, well, at some point they got to take a L, right?
Correct. I also have them losing to the Buccaneers at home because I think that offense and what they have going is going to be tough. And again, to your point, Mo, about that young secondary, the Raiders secondary and the Chiefs, they have the talent there. It's just going to take time, experience, learning how to anticipate how some of these guys go. And I think the Buccaneers, as long as they're at full strength, they win that one as well.
Yeah, Buccaneers not a stretch. Well, I should say Bruce Arians wants to stretch the field, and I think he's going to stress that secondary. Jameis Winston threw 30 picks last year, and the Buccaneers had the third best scoring offense. Imagine what they do with Tom Brady, who's way more efficient. So I have Bucs winning this thing.
But you think he's going to stretch the field? I don't see Brady stretching the field.
I've read all about this, and they believe in Brady's arm. I'm not saying he's going to throw bombs. But what I'm saying is Damon Arnett and Trayvon Mullen are going to be tested in that second. Yeah,
right.
You don't have to throw 20-yard bombs to test those guys.
Right. Okay. Week 8 against the Browns. I have this as it's at Cleveland, but I think this is one where the Raiders go out and they pick up the W, having lost two in a row previous.
Wow. You got some in a tough spot. This could go either way. I'll say this. This could go either way because this is a weird situation with the Browns. Kevin Stefanski likes to run the ball. The Raiders ace against the run last year, so they're very good in that area. But I'm worried about the matchup. Just Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham Jr. versus Trayvon Mullen and Damon Arnett. I think those veteran wide receivers are going to take advantage of the Raiders' young cornerbacks. Again, I see this game could go either way depending on what the Browns do with their offense. Do they want to run the ball? So they do. That favors the Raiders. But if they look at that matchup on the back end, Landry and Beckham, if Beckham is healthy, I worry about that secondary, and I think the Browns pick up the win.
Well, you know, I'll tell you right now, you can have wide receivers running open all day long. If your quarterback can't hit them, it don't matter. Straight up.
Yeah.
So I don't think that Baker Mayfield gets it done. I think that his rookie year was probably going to be one of his best years in the league. I just don't think he takes that step forward. I think he's one of those where you keep waiting for him to take that next step, and it takes a long time to get there if it ever does. So I think he throws a couple errant passes, a couple turnovers here and there, and the Raiders pull out a victory in Cleveland.
All right. So we got Q. He's got 5-2 through 8 weeks. It includes a bye, don't forget. Mo is at 2-5, and I am at 5-2. So Mo and I are opposite ends there with some disagreement on a couple games. But we're going to get to the back half of the season, and then we want to hear what you guys have to say. 702-365-9200. You're listening to Mo Moten, our special guest, along with Q and Scott, here on the Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
If you believe Tom Brady did fumble and that Franco Harris didn't catch that pass and call it the Immaculate Deception, then you found the right place. This is Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
All right, back here on the Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio. Q Myers, Scott Gabranson, our special guest, Mo Moten. We're going through the Raiders' schedule ahead of their first game in Carolina this weekend, and we're going long a little bit, so we're going to end up hitting the top of the hour break here, Mo, but we want to keep you over if you can stay. If the avocado smoothie
working overtime, Mo. Ain't doing nothing but sipping on an avocado smoothie anyway.
Another serving of that avocado smoothie, and I should be all good.
Okay. All right, so let's get two games in here real quick before we got a break. Number one, Week 9 post election game at Los Angeles against the Chargers. I have this one as a win. I just think that it will be, if there were fans there, they would be Raider fans anyway. And I think the Chargers, although they have talent, especially on defense and a few guys on offense too, of course, I think that they'll keep it close at home. But I do think the Raiders come out of L.A. with a win.
Yeah, see, yeah. I got to roll with you. I'm sorry, Mo. I got to roll with you as well on that one. I don't have a lot of explanation. The Chargers are going to stink this year, in my opinion, so the Raiders get the dub.
All right. Mo.
Yeah, I think the Chargers would be competitive, but the reason I'm picking the Raiders to win this game is because the Chargers don't have much speed on offense. Keenan Allen and Mike Williams aren't running away from anyone. I think the Raiders' cornerbacks, Trayvon Mullen and Damon Arnett, they can get up on those wide receivers, jam them. And they also had that half season of experience, so I think they'll start to play a lot better starting Week 9 and they pick up the win here.
All right, Week 10 against the Broncos at home, the first time the Broncos roll into Las Vegas. I also like the Raiders in this one to make a two in a row in the AFC West.
I'm with you again on that one. The Broncos are going to stink, too. I think that they're going to be – I'm serious.
Yeah.
They're just going to stink. And Von Miller going down, I hate that for him. He's a hell of a player. But I just think it – I just don't think that they're going to be that good a team. I'm not 100% sold on Drew Lock yet. He had a small window of opportunity of what he did, and it just was – it was good, but it wasn't great. So, yeah, I think that the Raiders picked this dub up as well.
Yeah, I think the Raiders start to feel a sense of urgency. They have to pick up some wins, so I think they pick up a win here. To their tackles, Garrett Bowles is a penalty machine, and Elijah Wilkinson, who's filling in for Juwan James, who opted out for COVID reasons, allowed 10 sacks last year. So I think this is a big game for Cleveland Farrell. And Max Crosby and the Raiders pick up the win.
All right, so we're up to now week 11 against the Chiefs. We're going to step aside for the top of the hour break. We'll come back. We're ordering a smoothie for Mo. We're getting a Dr. Jen's protein bar for Q and myself. We're going to be back here. We'll also take your call, 702-365-9200. What do you think the Raiders will do this year? You're listening to the Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio 920.